This is Eric Herm, farmer and author of Surviving Ourselves. You're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Zohara Hieronymus. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. I'm Dr. Zohara Hieronymus, and continuing on our discussion of soil health and ways we can help the earth with very simple, practical, and healthful remedies is our guest Don Weaver. Don is an ecologist, a researcher, a writer, an organic grower, and he, like Joanna Campe, who we just spoke with, is concerned with the health and survival of humanity and the biosphere. I met Don years ago when Chris Bird introduced us, whom with his co-author John Hammacher wrote The Survival of Civilization. Don is also producer of Solar Age or Ice Age. He writes for bulletins, numerous articles for magazines, and again, acresusa.com and us and Don are all pals, all in league to try to make the earth a better place. Thank you so much, Don, for joining us.
Hi, Zoe. Sure. Glad to be back with you after some years.
Yeah, that's
maybe
some way to put
than
it.
That. Maybe
yeah,
decades.
It's exactly right.
Where have we been all these years?
We've been still doing it. You know, that's the good news is we're all still here, continuing on the path to make a difference. So let's get at it. How is global warming affecting our soil?
Well, first of all, I somewhat still question the term, what I think is a too simplistic of a term, global warming, because the Earth is always warming and cooling in different areas, and there's a major fluxes of energy going around the world based on the heating from the sun and cooling from the ice sheets, and there's many factors involved. I prefer the term global climate change because there's no certainty, despite many computerized climate models, that there will be a long-term average warming of the Earth. There's definitely a lot of evidence. There's record heat in many areas, record drought in many areas. There's also record cold in many areas, and there's snow and ice buildup in some areas, as I've documented since I started working with John Hammacher before and when we published our book in 1982, The Survival of Civilization, the first edition. So anyway, how does climate change affect
And thank you for taking the time to say
that. If you want.
Yeah, no, that, and I was saying thank you for taking the time to clarify the two, because you are right. As we see, the extremes in all weather is the reality, and it's not just warming.
I often like to say global, I don't know if I coined the term, I might have, but global warping, I think, of the climate is a little more accurate. There's more and more extremes of all kinds.
Yes.
And this, of course, can affect soils. When there's extreme heat and drought, obviously soils dry up and the microorganisms and other life in them die back or go dormant. And if there's extreme flooding, obviously you can lose thousands of tons of topsoil over large areas. And, of course, if there's, if there's extended snowfall into the spring, your farmers are going to get affected by not being able to plant their crops. Same with heavy rains or, again, drought and heat. So all these extremes can seriously affect agriculture, which was what John Hammacher was trying to warn us about, that the future might see extreme crop loss worldwide, and which would naturally lead to famine potential for many of us. So that's part of course, the theme of survival of civilization. Fortunately, it hasn't come to pass as yet that we've seen major famines, but, of course, billions of people, I think, are malnourished, and many millions are starving, in the process of starving to death. So do we want to go on with that process, or do we want to start giving back to the earth and regenerating the soil and the biosphere?
And so when you look at these 30-some years you've been doing this work, what has changed?
Well, as Joanna pointed out, more and more people are remineralizing the soil. 120,000 acres in Mexico is 120,000 more than there were when we started communicating these messages back in the early 80s, so John, going back into the 70s. So what's changed? More and more awareness, but still, more and more good examples of what can be done to regenerate the land and the forest cover and the vegetation and potentially human health at the same time. We're of course, big on emphasizing that human health is not separate from soil health and planetary health, and they all go together if we want to regenerate. We regenerate from the soil up and can potentially help humanity to be far healthier physically, mentally, and spiritually, or however you want to term the how we behave on Earth ethically. It all goes together, I think, and there's a lot of evidence that's the case. So things are changing. I'd say they're still changing much too slowly, given the pace of Earth's ecosystem deterioration and climate imbalance. I think it'd be very wise if we immediately, despite the disagreements in what's going to happen with the climate, is it going to warm, is it going to cool, is it going to just get more extreme, which has obviously been happening and is well documented, can we at least agree to start giving back to the soil the nutrients we've borrowed from it, taken or borrow, as time will tell, and can we like plant billions of trees to start sucking in the carbon dioxide and getting it back in the soils and vegetation while we figure out exactly what's going to happen with the climate? And, you know, can we start growing real high-quality food and helping people have an affordable source of excellent quality foods?
Right, exactly. And to be more mindful about stopping all this ridiculous exportation worldwide and instead focusing so that there's local economies where, you know, the food that's grown there stays there. The decentralizations for sort of the corporatized farm industry with the chemical kill stuff and the GMOs really undid so many nations' agriculture that for centuries had been so stable.
Right, right. Mm-hmm, sure. Yeah, I think we've maybe gone down that road far enough and can start trying to give back more, as much or more than we've been taking from the soil. And you have to obviously add all the major and minor and trace elements to do that. You can't just be trying to depend on the old obsolete chemical fertilizers based on simply nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus, and maybe a few other elements in some of them. So it's certainly be wise to give back everything we've been taking and enable the soil to replenish its mineral stocks, and at the same time, as you talked about with Joanna, to start withdrawing the excess CO2 from the atmosphere and getting it back in the soils and in the plant life and billions and billions more new trees. And if we remineralize the old forests that are often sick and dying these days and increasingly burning and going up in smoke, we can also enable them to regenerate by remineralizing those soils. So there's tremendous potential for taking this excess CO2 out of the air. It's just, to me, very, very strange that most climate groups are just still talking about cutting back on carbon emissions. And as important as that is, what about helping the soil and the plants take back the carbon that has been, you know, given up from deforestation, from soil depletion, as well as from the fossil fuel burning? And we can get it all down more toward the normal interglacial levels of 300 parts per million rather than now over 400 parts per million, certainly in a major danger zone for playing so-called Russian roulette with the climate, as many climate scientists have warned about.
Mm-hmm. And the area that has interested me for so long, and it's very difficult now to get any information, is mm-hmm. geoengineering. You know, on the one hand, you think, wow, that sounds like a great term, and maybe they're going to do a great job. But what you find is that a lot of weather engineering has nothing to do with improving the climate as much as manipulating systems for war, even things as frivolous as sporting events.
Yeah, well, I agree. I don't think, you know, just short-term fixes, trying to come up with a technological quick fix to what's really an ecological problem that needs holistic ecological solutions based on, again, biology, the soil biology, plant biology, forest biology, and helping these systems regenerate and not trying to, you know, throw up coal dust to darken the sky and cause less sun to come in, and even like things like solar mirrors, and they've even invented artificial trees that can take CO2 out of the air. You could call that ludicrous to think we need to build artificial trees that scrub CO2 out of the air when we have many, many varieties of trees we can plant in virtually every area of the earth that will thrive, and particularly thrive on remineralized soils. And, of course, when, as Joanna mentioned, we talk about remineralization that assumes in complementary methods such as adding, you know, mulch and compost to the soil and, you know, basically trying to avoid the chemical approach and give back to the earth what the natural materials that make up fertile soil in the first place, which is the inorganic rock minerals and the organic matter that grows out of the earth.
Yeah, as Gary Zimmer will talk about our third hour, the whole notion of biological farming comes down to everybody sort of helping and enhancing the soil. You know, I was reading Acres USA, and I was noticing in some of the discussions this term resilience has become a really important objective. And and it makes so much sense to me. I mean, we used to in the 90s talk about sustainability, and now people are talking about resilience because it's really obvious that that's what's required because there is so, that just there's so many unpredictable cofactors now.
Right. Well, resilience, that reminds me of another term. Well, sustainability, some of these terms are, really need to be clearly defined. I mean, by resilience, you mean in terms of, say, agriculture needing to be resilient to climate change?
Well, they're talking about just overall everything needs to be rebuilt so that, like a human being, you're resilient to, you know, disease. You're able to come back from illness. You can, you know,
be prepared
for anything that comes your way. I think that's the way they're meaning it.
Okay, yeah, of course, that's important. That's what I use the term regeneration a lot because you regenerate the soil, our health will regenerate, and we can be much more resilient to any kind of normal stressors and the degree of the inevitable degree of toxins we are exposed to in the modern world. And and things like, you know, to be resilient against cancer, you have to have all the trace minerals, you have to be well nourished, and then you're far less likely to develop cancers and other diseases that tend to thrive in a weakened immune and health system.
And I remember, you know, I saw that you recommend a website that seems to be housed out of Australia.
Let's see. Oh, well, you're thinking of the soilandhealth.org website?
I think that's what it was. And I went to it, and I thought it was so interesting, the term radical agriculture. Because in it was William Albrecht's books, and I remember his books from Bird, and he was always telling people, look, you're not going to have human health if you don't have good soil, because you won't have good crop and you won't have good livestock.
Right. Albrecht had it right back starting in the 40s. And, yeah, the soilandhealth.org is an excellent library of free books, and that's where we donated our book, The Survival of Civilization, and the follow-up book I did in 2002 called To Love and Regenerate the Earth. And those and many other good books are there in the agriculture library section. Radical Agriculture was actually the title of a book by Richard someone back in the 70s, as I recall. And it was a very good book. I read that when I was at the Farallones Institute in the late 70s studying biointensive horticulture. And that's where I first found John Hammacher's early writings in Acres USA and got inspired by the potential of remineralization as a key foundational part of regenerating soil health and potentially our local planet.
And so as Joanna was talking about, you know, that Europe and Cuba and China and other countries are more responsive. I saw an article about Russia actually moving towards massive organic farming.
Oh, well, I didn't see that. I don't think that was in the last few months or a year.
Yes, it was, and I don't remember where I saw it. I just thought to myself, how brilliant! And here in this country, we're still like having to fight over the right to get rid of GMOs, so our organic farms aren't contaminated with lethal material.
Right, right. Well, I'm glad to hear Russia's waking up to the need to do that. Once people realize, you know, that basically we don't need these chemicals, they've been basically forcing agents for, you know, helping the soil or forcing, maybe prodding the soil into producing more crops by partly the acidification of the fertilizers, you know, breaks open the cell walls of microorganisms, as Hammacher pointed out in The Survival of Civilization, and releases the trace minerals, and that along with the elements of the chemical fertilizers and everything else in the organic matter can produce crops. But once those trace minerals get short and the organic matter gets burned out and goes into the atmosphere of CO2, then you have what's common all over the world is very low organic matter soils, very low carbon content, plus very low mineral content, or at least available minerals.
Mm-hmm.
So that all can be re-jump-started and made to come back to life by remineralization and organic, complementary organic methods. For some reason, organizations like the Rodale Institute have been very slow to get on this. They've seemingly just been advocating the organic matter without realizing the inorganic minerals are a key. They're nature's building blocks along with the carbon compounds and the nitrogen compounds, so we need them all together. Even J.I. Rodale, back in the 40s, when he wrote the book The Healthy Hunses about one of the world's longest-lived peoples, he pointed out that the key to their health and longevity is the fact they irrigate their soils twice a year with glacial milk, as it was called, which is basically glacial meltwater full of the minerals ground by the glaciers and entrained into the water. So we can, and he pointed out, we can do what the Hunses do in the U.S., and we should be grinding the billions of tons of available rocks and spreading them on our soils. But somehow, that after he passed on, his son Robert and associates didn't really pick up on that and somehow just got locked into this, adding animal manure and compost and didn't really get into the mineral angle. So fortunately, as you mentioned, Charles Walters and others in Acres USA have been emphasizing the mineral aspect a lot more, and we're hopefully on the road to really putting all these things together and every country committing to organic agriculture based on soil remineralization, and then we might actually have a chance to stabilize the climate and regenerate human and planetary health.
Amen.
Maybe we'll even stumble upon world peace someday.
Oh, wouldn't that be an amazing reality? May it be mm-hmm. so. I mean, I'm writing a book and, and studying the elephants. We have to take a break. Studying the elephants in Buffalo, they perform such magic for the soil. And when they were eliminated, the whole soil aptitude and way in which the soil sort of didn't rebound anymore. Anyway, we have to take a break and we'll be right back. Our guest is Don Weaver. You can follow up after the program at www.remineralize.org, also www.soilandhealth.org. And of course, the most stupendous magazine on the planet for all of this is Acres USA, acresusa.com.
My name is Jocelyn D'Ambrosio, and I'm an attorney with Earth Justice. Please feel free to visit our website, www.earthjustice.org, to learn more about the work we do to protect the environment and defend the right of all people to a healthy environment. You're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Zohara Hieronymus.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. Don Weaver is with us. You can follow up after the show at his websites, Mineralize, remineralize.org. And www.soilandhealth.org, and his book with John Hammaker, The Survival of Civilization. And what was your follow-up book again, Don? I did not see it.
Yeah, also, I think it's also in the Agriculture Library at soilandhealth.org. It's called To Love and Regenerate the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I did in 2002. And in 2011, I also put together about 20 of my articles I've been writing into a book form. That's called Regenerate the Earth! And that's available at vibranthealthandwealth.com.
Vibranthealthandwealth.com. Wonderful.
That's at my friend David Klein's website in Maui, and he's got that book available for people. And that goes a little more into the practical aspects of how to remineralize, get started in your own garden, at least growing a small space and finding out what remineralized produce tastes like and how much better you can feel eating real food from real, rich, mineralized soil.
Mm-hmm. I noticed the difference just between planting organic seed and heirloom organic. And after doing heirloom gardens now 2 out of my 7 years, there's no comparison. The old seeds, the plant life is so large, it's so healthy, it's extraordinarily different.
Seed's important, soil's important, and TLC from the gardener is important.
Well, that's true, too. There's so many things that affect plant life, which we'll talk about in a cycle with Gary. What areas have we not touched on that you all work on at Remineralize the Earth?
Oh, that we haven't touched upon. Well, it's a good question. I'm not sure everything's, when I listened to Joanna's interview with you previously and this one, I think we've covered the basic points. We haven't maybe emphasized, the urgency of this in regards to seeing the forest burning up and whether we want to decide to save them or not. The degree people's health is degenerated and it results in so many unwell people, not only physically but mentally, and of course it results in poverty of people. When you're living on impoverished land, you're going to be a poor person in one way or another, usually both financially and health-wise, and as far as the beauty and aesthetics of your environment, and all these things affect how people live and behave and what their future looks like. So, I just think we should emphasize that none of these problems we see in the world are inherent to the planet Earth. If we, start giving back to the Earth to do right by the soil and the plant life and each other and the animal world, which, of course, we're also abusing tremendously and unnecessarily in most ways.
All true.
And, we can start to decide if we want to give back. We've been taking and taking as a species, and do we want to become the generous species on Earth and help the Earth regenerate, or do we want to see the degenerative cycles continue and take us to places I don't think anybody really wants to go if they think about it.
Well, having stayed the course, as Joanna and I were talking about, and I joke we've all sort of gone white together, silver-haired or something, or lost our hair, it depends on who you are. But that there's still this resistance, and I'm one of these people who's always trying to examine, does it just finally come down to the glorious bucko, that the corporations have no interest in surrendering their control over the millions and millions of acres worldwide? Because the local farmer, whether they're in India, Africa, or Owings Mills, Maryland, want to grow good food, whether it's for their little garden or for a serious business.
Yeah, and more people are really trying to grow good food, and, at least a lot of people are transitioning to organic. A lot of them, just based on what the information out there in general, they're not fully apprised yet of the remineralization option. I encourage everyone listening to, study the remineralize.org website and help get out the word that the remineralization is a key part of regenerating human and planetary health, and that can make a big difference. If you go to a farmer's market, talk to the farmers, ask them if they're using rock powders, and do they know about it? You can tell them about the website and start first educating yourself out there. If you're not aware of these things, do some study and research, and then you can help other people learn about it. And education is probably the first thing everyone needs to start doing, self-education, and then sharing what you learn. We certainly didn't learn much of this in public schools growing up, and I don't think it's being taught yet. So,
no, and you had mentioned that overall the acidification of the soil reminded me so much when you listen to holistic healthcare, naturopaths, et cetera, speak about how everybody's bodies are so acidified, and that we have to find a better balance with more alkalinity.
Right. Well, the alkaline minerals are in the rock dust, and that's the key to bringing the soil back to more of an alkaline state. And, most rock dusts are in the 7 to 8 pH range and will help remineralize the soil and alkalize it as well. And that makes more mineralized, alkalizing foods. And, that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Basic bioscience, and everyone should learn that in first grade probably, but somehow we don't.
And, but fortunately, from a sad perspective, the obesity in this country has led now to a movement in the school system to teach children more about food. And it's a good sign. It's just always so tragic that we have to wait for things to disassemble so massively before there's a wake up call to, there are simple things we can do. And that's why I've always loved the work you all do, because it's not sophisticated. It's so basic, so primary. And truthfully, it's what is needed. I have to add this one pitch for Buffalo, who told me at the end of writing my book that's what they call for, is remineralizing the soil. Those were their exact words.
Right. Yeah, I agree completely. Buffalo is who again?
as in the animals.
the real buffalo.
Okay. I've been writing this book through Transspecies Telepathy, and these animals all have a message, and the buffalo's was to remineralize the soil. That was it.
Well, so, even people like Rudolf Steiner, the founder of the biodynamic movement back in the 20s, he told a man I met way back in the probably the late 80s before he died, he said he knew Steiner, and Steiner said, someday the world will come to realize it needs to remineralize its soils.
Exactly.
And this fellow was working on a rock grinder to start producing rock dust. And you talked about the corporations. There's probably, I think the corporations would be wise to start getting into producing rock grinders, like for a while, as fast as we produce trucks and other heavy
Exactly.
equipment.
Thank you, Dom Weaver, for being with us. Follow up. www.remineralize.org and soilandhealth.org.
Stay connected with stimulating talk and breaking news on Talk Radio 680 WCBM Baltimore and WCBM.com.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa.